The second commandment was given to the Israelites on Mount Sinai through Moses says this, as we read in the book of Deuteronomy. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. In simple terms, you will not make or build an idol for yourself. You will not make an image of anything that exists in the sky and down on earth or under the earth for worship purposes. You will not worship these images because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And now St. Gregory Palamas analyzes this commandment always under the light of the New Testament. And he tells us these profound words. Everything, all these things mentioned in this commandment are creations of God, who took on flesh in the last days from the Virgin Mary, and he was seen on the earth and lived and walked with men. The one who gave the law on Mount Sinai and said, you will not worship anything, nor you will make any image from anything that exists in the sky, like the stars in the air, in the water, or the sea, or on the surface of the earth. This God, at the last days, received flesh from the womb of the Virgin and was seen among people. He lived with them, and he suffered and died for the salvation of mankind. And then he resurrected and ascended and sat at the right hand of the Most High God. And all this with his body. And with this body he will return again with glory to judge the living and the dead. So you will make the icon of the one who became man for our salvation. So the central and key point of this commandment falls on the incarnation of the Son of God. In other words, the same thing that was decreed from the Seventh Ecumenical Synod. Since the Son of God became man, now he is describable. We can make his icon since he became man. Because truly, the divine cannot be described. The divine is imageless. Because the idea of the old commandment was you will not worship idols. You will not make a god with your hands and put him in my place. In the Old Testament, it was not permissible to make any image to represent God because God had not incarnated. But now that God himself incarnated, now we can have his icon. This is the very basic criterion of the Seventh Ecumenical Council to raise again the holy icons in the churches, saying, since the Son of God became man, now he is describable. He can be painted. He can be iconographed. So you will make his icon, St. Gregory Palamas says, and why? Because of your love for him. If you love him, you'll want to have his icon, just like he loves you and he came into this world. So love is what will make you make his icon, just like we have pictures and photographs of our loved ones. And your mind will go to him through the icons. When we have the photograph of a person, it always reminds us of that person. This is very natural. When we have the image or the icon of Christ, it always reminds us of Christ. Do you have any idea how great and how precious this is to have the icon of Christ? And how many people confess that they cannot let themselves sin when they are close to the icon of Christ? Why? Because it sensationalizes the invisible. It is the visual connection with the invisible being. Even the human nature of Christ is invisible to us. He's in heaven, obviously. So how can I have the feeling that Christ is present, that God is watching me through the icon? How many people who wear around their neck the icon of Christ or the precious cross, they admit that they cannot sin because they wear the icon of Christ or the Holy Cross around their neck. This is of great value, and it offers great assistance if someone truly does not want to sin. And you will worship him through the icon. Yes, because St. John of Damascus says, and St. Basil said the same thing before him, that when you venerate or worship the icon of Christ, this worship bypasses to the prototype, and the prototype is Jesus Christ. The question is the body of Christ worshipful? Or if you will, is the human nature of Christ worshipful? Can we worship the human nature of Christ? Absolutely. We must definitely worship the human nature of Christ. It is venerable and worshipful. When we have the sacrament of Holy Eucharist, we don't have the icon of the body of Christ, but we have the actual body of Christ. So when we venerate the icon of Christ, then our veneration and worship goes directly to Christ through the icon. But this is not the case in the sacrament of Holy Eucharist. We don't get to Christ through the sacrament, but in this sacrament, we have the very body and the very blood of Christ, and therefore, it is to be venerated and worshipped. So you venerate and worship the body of Christ, and this because it is united with the divine nature of God the Word, united inseparably and unconfusedly. Once God the Word took on the human nature, and he will never do away with it. And the Son of God will be worshipped from ages unto ages with his human nature. And this is true forever. And when you venerate the icon, St. Gregory says, you will be elevating, you will be raising your thoughts to the worshipful body of the Savior sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So according to this commandment, you will not venerate any image which is in the likeness of any creation outside of God, and now with his human nature, because in the last ages he took on the human nature and became man. But we also have something else to venerate, St. Gregory says. The same holds true for the icons of the saints, whom you will not worship as gods. This is forbidden. But because of their great relationship with God and how greatly they honored him, and through the icons, your mind will go to them and how they please God. So you will make icons for the saints. You will look at their face, the face of the saints. You will not worship them as gods, neither you will ascribe any power to the paint or the wood. But you will honor the saints because they were great friends of Christ and they develop strong unity with Christ. And for this reason, we honor the saints. So the veneration of the saints through the icons is of an honorary nature and not worship. Just like we bow down to a person out of great respect and we embrace this person. We do this to an elder, a Yeranda. We bow down and we kiss their hand. What, this is idolatry? Of course not. Do we turn our elders into gods? Certainly not. we offer veneration to these images of God. This has nothing to do with divine worship. Do you need proof? Moses received the Ten Commandments from God. He knew the commandments very well. He was the first one to receive them. I believe he understood the commandments extremely well. And yet, Moses had no problem with carving and molding golden cherubim for the Holy of Holies. And these cherubim were icons of the cherubim angels, the angels of heaven who hymn and glorify God. But St. Gregory says, even these Holy of Holies, before the construction of the Temple of Solomon, these Holy of Holies were made in the image of heaven. While the rest of the temple, where the sacrifices would take place, that section of the temple was in the image of this world. So the entire temple was in the typology, or in the image of the heaven and the world. Just like in our churches today, in our temples today, the area where the faithful stand, this is the typos of this world, of the faithful in this world, and the iconostasy, the icon screen, separates the two, and the space behind the icon stand represents the heavens. So since Moses himself constructs buildings and images to represent heavenly things, then you must understand that we do not go against this commandment if we make icons to honor our saints who encircle the throne of God. He further adds, you will not worship or venerate the wood or the paint, but through the icon you will venerate Christ and the saints. Christ made us according to his image, and then he took our image and became men. This is very profound, and St. Irenaeus makes this very astute comment. During the early years, it was said that God made men according to his image, but this was not apparent. This was not overt, because God the Word, the one who created men, he was still invisible. And according to his image, God made men according to his image, this was not very clear before the incarnation. And because God the Word was invisible in those early years, humankind rejected the struggle to reach the likeness of God. In other words, a man could not or did not become holy. But from the time that the Word of God became flesh, he validated both of these, the according to the image and the likeness. What did God the Word become? He became that which was his image. And based on this image, he fashioned men. It is quite remarkable, my friends, that man becomes created based on the image of God the Word, who later takes on the image of men. If you want to be more precise, God the Word did not take on the image of men, whom he created with his own image, but even the human nature of Christ was based on this image. So God the Word did not copy, and this will make things more clear, God the Word did not copy the image of Adam, let's say, but Adam himself was made according to the image of God the Word, who is the prototype, and Adam is a copy. In other words, the blueprints of the image of men, the blueprint is Jesus Christ. The prototype is God the Word. And based on this prototype, Adam was fashioned. So Adam is a copy. God the Word is the original. And if you will, according to the image, does not refer only to the soul, but to the body as well. This is truly remarkable because the image of God, the image of God the Word, is fulfilled. It is completed with the New Testament, with the incarnation of the Son of God. You must also venerate the holy and precious cross, St. Gregory continues. As you know, the precious cross is the footstool of the feet of God, and now the footstool of the feet of the incarnated God. Doesn't the psalmist say, worship the footstool of his feet? What is a footstool? Exactly that, a foot rest. And what is the footstool of the Son of God? The cross, because he was spread on the cross. He leaned on the cross. And do you see what the Old Testament says? Come to worship the footstool of his feet. Not the feet, but the footstool of his feet, which is the precious cross. Consequently, the Holy Cross is venerable. And the typology of this sign, the energy of the Holy Cross, worked great signs even in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament and in the lives of the prophets, the Holy Cross was miraculous. Before the New Testament, the uncreated energy of the precious cross was performing great and terrible signs, such as the parting of the water at the Red Sea. Moses carved a cross on the water, as the church hymnology says. Or when the Israelites stopped from dying when bit by poisonous snakes, this was caused by the uncreated energy of the Holy Cross. There is not a single miracle in the area of the Old Testament without the uncreated energy of the precious cross of Christ. But St. Gregory also says that this precious cross will be escorting during the second coming, our Lord. The cross, the sign, will be in front of Christ, escorting him, actually going in front of him. Christ himself says this, the precious cross will appear in the sky, and all those who speared and crucified Christ all through the centuries, and how did they spear him? With the noetic spear, their sins. All those enemies of the cross of Christ will see the cross on which they crucified Christ in the sky as the glorious announcer of the second coming of Christ. What would they do then? They will beat their chests and their heads, but to no avail. They will finally realize that they were terribly deluded, that Christ is the Son of God, he is the true one, and awesome is the power of his holy cross. St. Gregory continues, you will also make the sign of the cross on your body. When we make the sign of the cross, we confess two important dogmas of our faith. The first one is the dogma of the Holy Trinity. We believe in one triune God. And how do we confess this? When we squeeze our three fingers together. And when we move these fingers to make the sign of the cross, we confess our faith in the second doctrine, the second dogma, the dogma of the incarnation of the Son of God. This second dogma is represented by the holy and precious cross, because what was crucified on the cross was not some spirit, but the human nature, the one that truly died and truly resurrected. Consequently, when we make the sign of the cross, when I make the sign of the cross, I confess these two grand and salvational dogmas of our faith, our faith to the Holy Triune God and our faith to the dogma of the incarnation of the Son of God. St. Gregory adds, in the same way, you will also venerate the relics of the saints or their incorrupt bodies. Here in the United States, we have the incorrupt body of St. John Maximovich, St. John of Shanghai. In Jerusalem, we have St. George the Hozavitis. In Corfu, we have St. Spiridon. In Evia, St. John the Russian, and many others. St. Gregory says, you will also venerate their bodies and their belongings because the saints had received the Holy Spirit during this temporal life. And the Holy Spirit did not abandon them. It did not leave their soul or their body or their remains of relics. The relics that we find in your tomb, clothing, shoes, objects, the Holy Spirit rests on all these things. The Holy Spirit remains united with the relics of the saints. In essence, when you venerate the relics of the saints, you venerate the icon of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And please explain this to your Protestant acquaintances and neighbors so they don't accuse you of idolatry. And St. Gregory Palamas teaches that we ought to venerate all these things. The liturgical book of Paraclitiki says in a hymn, even though the Holy Cross may appear to be of a certain material, wood or bronze or steel or stone or gold, however, the energy and the power of the Holy Cross is amazing. That's why as Orthodox, we must love to venerate our Holy Cross and our holy icons, the relics of the saints. All these we must learn to love to venerate because they have the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. My friends, people today seem to worship many different things. People today believe in the power or energy of crystals. New Age shops are making a fortune on crystals and horoscope books. People pray to the moon so they can have a good month. And this last one, even in Orthodox lands. People open a shop, a store, a business, and when they open, they hold on to the first dollar bill or a $5 bill. They wipe it on their face, and then they frame it for good luck. This piece of paper will somehow bless their business so they can do well. Of course, there's a number of other witchcraft practices and techniques that Christian people use, falling once again into idolatry. The blue handa, a blue stone with the eye, the evil eye, and all these different things. And, of course, the moon and all the different stars. But as a Christian, when you see the brand new, the new moon, make the sign of the cross. You received your first money from your brand new store or business, take the money, put it in your pocket, and make the sign of the cross and glorify God. Then you don't become an idolater, but you stay within the realm of the true faith. You stay within the true worship of God. My friends, these things we've received from the second commandment under the light of the New Testament and the analysis offered by St. Gregory Palamas, Archbishop of Salonika. Do you see how much wealth and depth we were able to bring out by shining the powerful light beams of the New Testament and the Church Fathers on the second commandment of our Lord? And this second commandment says we are not to worship any likeness of God's creations. As Orthodox Christians, now we see how and what we are to venerate and worship.
Ο δικασμός των αγγέλων των συμβωμένων η χαρά χριστιανών η προστάτη born.